Lord, I ask that you'll open the hearts. Lord, open our hearts that we might receive this word and that it may grow and come forth in our life. And in the name of Jesus, devil, we rebuke you. That you do not steal, kill, or destroy this word. Church says, if you're able this day, would you stand for the reading of the word of God? 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 20th verse. Says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. The thought that I want to minister to you today is, are we the best Christian that we can be? Are we maturing as Christians? Can we look back over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years of our life and see our Christian life growing, or is it stagnated, or has it kind of been the same? I believe that it's time that we begin to become mature Christians. I believe the world needs us to be Christians that are mature and are growing daily. Amen? So how then do we begin to grow in the Lord? How do we become a mature Christian? Just because we've been saved for 10 years does not make us a mature Christian. Just because we've been a church member for the last 30 years or 40 years doesn't make us a mature, good Christian. So what makes us a good Christian? The Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One. I believe with all my heart that if we are going to be the mature Christian, we have to begin to be led by the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. That I believe if there's ever a time that we have to be led by the Spirit, it's today. In John, the 14th chapter and the 26th verse, if they'd put that up there while I'm speaking about it, you can read it. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost, He teaches us all things. And He brings things to our remembrance that we have heard of Christ or that we've heard ministered. You know, when I'm up here ministering, that the average, if I preach for 1 hour, and I don't intend on preaching for 1 hour this morning, but if I did, that the average person would only remember 10 minutes of an hour message. That's the average person. And I don't know about you, but as I get older, 10 minutes would be pushing it. Come on. But do you know something? That the Holy Spirit can move upon you and bring things back to your mind that you did not know that you even know. Amen. And so when we become a mature Christian, the first thing that we need to begin to do is to begin to walk and be led by the Spirit of God. We have to begin to be taught by the Spirit of God. Here's something I'm going to tell you. So many people so confused right now about what to believe and what the Bible. You know, every single denomination that I've ever known of has always support Wycliffe. Am I right? They translate Bibles. But do you know that starting last year, that they actually put a translation out that took the name of Jesus out of the Bible? It's the Son of God is not mentioned in the Bible nowhere. It's just God, the superior. To me, that's blasphemy. So how do we know, how can we keep in the Word? I believe with all my heart that the Holy Ghost, if we're led by the Spirit, He will teach you what thus saith the Word of God. When you hear the Word, you will know it's true. When you hear something that's not Bible, they will be something that will move on you. You can be the smartest educated person, or you may not. You may be like me and not have a lot, but the Holy Ghost will teach you what thus saith the Word of God. There is no excuse for false doctrine in this society. If we walk and are led by the Spirit of God, we can see the Word of God begin to move again. Is that all right? Apostle Paul, if you put up Acts, the 19th chapter, and we're going to start in verse 2. Paul was traveling, and I'm showing this because I want to show you the importance of being led by the Spirit. Paul met some disciples that was only thing that they knew was the baptism of John. Now, what did John baptize? He baptized unto repentance. You know, a lot of people say, well, John the Baptist, all he ever did was baptize, but it says he baptized unto repentance. And first, you know what John the Baptist said? You come and show me works of repentance, then I'll baptize you. He said, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Because he was saying, you haven't brought me fruit yet. Bring me fruits and I'll baptize you. So Paul run into some of his people that's all they knew was the baptized under repentance. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, Paul, we don't even know what you're talking about. We don't have no idea. Now, as smart as Paul was and all the things that Paul could have taught these people, he done one thing, and then he left them. I think it's verse number 6, Sister Lisa, if you'll put it up. This is what he taught them. He went up to them, ain't nobody close by. He laid his hands on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he went on his way. Why was that enough? Because when you have the Spirit of God working in your life, Paul understood that he will guide you, he will teach you, and he will bring you to maturity in Christ. And that's why I'm saying today, if we're going to grow to maturity, we have to walk in the Spirit. Now, can I say something a little controversial this morning? I'm one preacher that believes that it's a process. I believe that we're constantly growing in God. Now, I make a lot of Pentecostal preachers mad when I say this, but I want to say this. You see, some of us have come to the place that we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we may speak in tongues. We may let the gifts work in our life. But do you know that when you got saved, that the Spirit of God come in you? Do you know from the time that you were saved, you knew what was right and wrong? You know how you knew? Spirit of God. As you let the Spirit of God come into your life, you become more mature and know more. Is that too controversial? I don't mean to upset your teaching. But, I've been told it's this one way, and that's just it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. With me, it was a growing process. And can I tell you something else? After what I received, we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it wasn't an ending. It was a beginning of my life. And it's been 30-some years later, and I'm still growing and learning in this. And so we're maturing as Christians. So many times a day, I don't mean that Christians are not mature. And as I get into this, you'll see they set the wrong example. Not because they want to, but because they're not mature. And a mature Christian that's walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and you mark this down if you take notes, you will let the love of Christ out of your life. The love of Christ. That means you, every time that the Holy Spirit guides you or speaks to you, the love of Christ comes out. We don't. The judgmental part, the self-righteous part of our life, will be crucified because the love of Christ comes out. Do you know you can't have both? You cannot be judgmental and have the love of Christ. Boy, this is deep, and I wish I had a lot of time. But I've taught this before. You say, but Pastor, we can be fruit inspectors. You know what a fruit inspector is? It's not judgmental. You know how I judge fruit? I don't know about you, but I beat on watermelon, pecked on them, listened to them. The only way I can tell a good watermelon is cut it open and eat it. Amen? That's the same way with an orange. Some people like oranges this way, like that aren't the best oranges I've ever eaten in my life are those that's full of seeds. They're sweeter and have a better orange taste. But everybody likes the others. Sometimes I think I guess it's because I was raised poor. I thought bananas come black. The grocery man, if you know anything about Campbell County, there's a grocery store. They're called Shelby's. They had all these trucks that went everywhere. They also had a little store. My grandma, that was the only place she thought in the world to shop. Old man Shelby, we always called him Old Man Shelby. That's not disrespectful. That's what we called him. He would take them rotten bananas and put aside. And when my grandma went to trade on Saturday, she got a whole box full of them old rotten bananas. I thought you sucked bananas through your teeth. I didn't know you chewed them. That's the truth. But I'll tell you one thing. If you got the nerve to eat no rotten banana, it's better tasting than a green one. So what is fruit inspecting? Fruit inspecting is, I can say this much. When I see an orange, I know an orange. When I see a Christian, I know a Christian. Amen. Amen? And if it's a child of God, I have no right to judge that child of God. Amen. Now you see, beginning to see the love of God. Let's go on. I didn't mean to get, I don't know how I got off on old rotten bananas. First John 2:27. Now this verse here, a lot of people think it's controversial. It has nothing to do with teaching and learning from God's word. It says, But the anointing which you have received of him and abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. When you begin to grow, you remember when Samuel went to anoint a new king of Israel? He went to Jesse's house. Jesse had, was it 7 or 8 sons? And all the sons was at home, and he went to anoint one. And Jesse brought out the oldest and the strongest. He brought out the best looking one. He brought out the smartest one. He brought out all of his favorite sons. And Samuel said, no. He said, there got to be one more somewhere, Jesse. Jesse said, well, I've got one old rugged looking guy. He's not my favorite son. I've got him over here working. He's not very pretty. He ain't very handsome. He ain't very smart, but he's over here. Samuel said, well, bring me that man, that boy. What made a difference in David's life was when Samuel anointed the outcast, the one that the father thought would be nothing. See, you may be sitting here today and say, what can I do? How can God use me as a mature Christian? When Samuel anointed David king, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord come upon David and never left. Amen. And David became the most important king of Israel. When you hear him talk about Israel, you always hear King David. He established it. Why did God do that? So here's what I want to tell you. When we let the Spirit take place in us, if we're going to become a mature Christian, we have to develop our spiritual gifts. In other words, you have to seek spiritual gifts. Anybody know about seeking gifts? You need to seek them. You don't wait. You don't sit on your seat and say, well, if God wants me to do something, he's going to give it to me. That's not Bible. You ask God, Lord, I want to do something for you. And then when we begin to understand that God's given us a gift, then we have to develop that gift. You know, some people get confused about the gifts. And when the gift's been used, they say, well, that's not the way I think it ought to be used. Can I tell you something? A young person in a gift will not use that gift as a mature Christian. Because a mature Christian has 30 years of using that gift or being used. We're mature in it. And so you can't say, I want to be like this one. We do not judge one another. Because the only way that we're ever going to develop the gift is by letting God use us in a gift. And there's the nine gifts, but there's more than nine gifts. Do you know that it's a spiritual gift to pray for people? And that you may go up and say, I want to pray for Brother Dennis. The first time you do it, it may not seem comfortable and it may not seem the way it should, but you're developing that gift. You may go up and say, I want to just sit and talk to this person and tell them about the love of God. The first time you do it, it may be awkward, but as you do it more, it becomes a gift that you have developed. Our church is not mature because we're not developing the gifts. We don't even, you let gifts move in us. You know, and I'm not saying this to brag. This is my experience. I had very little talent when I started preaching. I couldn't play guitar very good. I couldn't sing. So I didn't get a lot of invitations. Back when I started preaching, if you couldn't sing, play guitar, or do something, they didn't like you. The first thing any pastor asked me when I'd say, can I come preach? Can you sing? Well, I can, but you don't want to hear me. Do you play any instruments? Well, I can, but you don't want to hear me. But so, you know what? I had a wise pastor, and he pulled me to the side. He said, son, you got to seek your talents, and then you got to let them develop. He said, if you want to be a good preacher, he said, learn to give an altar call. He said, 90% of preachers don't know how to give an altar. He said, you learn to give an altar call. He said, let that be one of your talents. So I spent endless hours praying and seeking God, fasting on giving altar call. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, God began to bless my talent that he gave me. And I've seen altar calls that God would just save multitudes. I've seen churches get ready to dismiss and they'd say, Bro Bill, would you just give a quick altar call? I didn't even preach. And God would begin to save. You know why? It wasn't me. It was the gift that God had given me. And I had learned to develop. I'm telling you, I don't care what you may be saying here today, and you may say, well, my gift's not important. If you let the anointing of God and you begin to develop it, your gift will be a blessing to a multitude of people. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Is this all right? Give the Lord a clap of worship. I'm going to hurry. I'm getting along. I'm just getting started, but I'm getting along. You see, this is where I'm saying, where this verse it says, I don't need nobody. You don't, and I'm going to put my words. People say, well, that means I don't need a teacher. That's not what that means. That means God can give you a gift, and you know it's yours. And he will teach you to develop that gift. And nobody else can mess with you on that gift. Does that make sense? Brother Carl can play an instrument. That's one of his gifts. That you say, well, that's a natural gift. That's also a spiritual gift. Nobody can mess with him on that. Because God gave it to him, and he works it. And that's the same with all the people that sing and play. That's a gift. That's just one of their many gifts. They can't be messed with on it. If somebody come up and try to tell Brother Carl, say, Brother Carl, you need to get the words right in your song. Because he's as bad as I am. You know what Carl would say? I don't have no need of anybody teaching me about this. I've been taught by the Lord. Amen. Is this all right? Let me go on. I've got just a few others. Thanks. I'm going to go on very quickly. Developing into a Christian, a mature Christian always shares the faith. And always does it with the love of God. One of the things that I have found that is that we have not begun to share the faith like we should. Then, the evidence of being a mature Christian. I'm going to give you just a few. These are just some. There's multitudes of them. The evidence of being a mature Christian. Number one, a mature Christian is faithful to God and faithful to the church. And when I say church, I don't mean this body. I mean that body. Number two, the evidence of a good Christian, of a mature Christian, is that they live a good Christian life. They are morally devoted to be a Christian. They're respected in their families as Christians. They're respected in their friends. And they're respected in their community as being a mature Christian. Can somebody say amen? You see, it's easy to be a mature Christian on Sundays. It's easy. But boy, Monday, when your neighbor's aggravating you, you'll be put to the test. On Wednesday, when your enemy's aggravating you, you'll be put to the test. When somebody cuts in front of you at Walmart, you'll be put to the test. When you go to get gas and you have to wait in line to pay $3 or something for gas, you'll be put to the test. But mature Christians always come out showing the love of God. And when we don't, because sometimes we fail, we immediately make things right. Can somebody say amen? Let me go just a little bit further. When we begin to have the evidence of being a mature Christian, we are become a minister. A minister is someone that listens to me. A minister is not someone that just stands here. A minister is somebody that meets the needs to the church and to those that are not in the church. We become, in other words, what we did yesterday was ministering. Did you know that's the true form of ministry? That's what that was. Ministry is meeting the needs of those that are in need. Christ said, if you want to be first, you must become last. If we become servants to our community, then God will lift us up. And that's what the ministry is all about. It's meeting the needs of people. Today in the churches, we come in, shut our doors, offer a worship to God, block the world out, and we never minister. We don't even minister one to another. They could be someone amongst us hurting and we don't even know it, because we have not matured as Christians. When we mature as Christians, we understand that we have to minister one to another. And that there's not one person said here, one time in your life or another, you didn't need somebody to minister to you. We have to we call it standing in the gap. We stand in the gap sometimes for one another. We become ministers one to another. Maturing Christians. See, we have an unction. You say, Pastor, I thought you were going to preach about the Holy Ghost. Well, see, I am preaching on the Holy Ghost. When you hear somebody say the Holy Ghost is more than a shout, then you will remember this message. Because the Holy Ghost wants to walk with you daily in your everyday life. And this is what I'm trying to bring across this morning. The evidence. And now I'm going to preach on the character. Just a second. And we're going to close. The number one character of a mature Christian is everything's about God. If you go, I love the fishing hunt. If you go fishing hunt, God comes first. When you're out there, you can't get your mind off God. You're always in the Word. You're always about the Word of God. If you're driving down the road and you see someone, an ambulance go by, you immediately go to pray. Because your focus is about God. This is what mature Christians do. If somebody has a need in the church, you constantly pray for that need. About your day, you go about your business, you do your things, but every time you can, you stop and you minister to that need. Because you become a mature Christian. You begin to grow in God. The Holy Ghost, you say, well, Pastor, I can't remember all this. That's when the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your remembrance. And we'll begin to teach you. It becomes about the Word of God. And I'll tell you something. If America had mature Christians, they wouldn't be taking Christ out of their churches. They wouldn't be taking the cross out of their churches. They would not. We would not. And you can take this to the bank. You can say I'm hateful or mean. But I'm going to join Van Hempe. We will not become best friends or worship with Muslims. We love them, but we will not become worshipers with them. You say, oh, but they pray to a divine God. But my Bible says you go to our God through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, and they will acknowledge Jesus Christ. A mature Christian character will always be he or she is a worshiper. Can somebody say, I want to be a worshiper? Oh, come on now. You know what a worshiper is? A worshiper is when you're having your worst day and everything's going wrong and you got tears in your eyes, you're hurting all over, you can still raise your hand and say, I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I'm glad that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when everything is going good, we don't forget where it come from. We raise our hands and even more and say, God, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you. We begin to acknowledge God in our worship and our praise. Church, this is what the world needs to see. They've seen enough belly aching and crying and pouting and begging for this and that. They need to see children of God that will worship their God no matter what, that we are true worshipers no matter what. This is what being a mature growing Christian is, that we become worshipers. The next thing is, and I've already touched on it, is that we always stand for the right. It's not always popular. In the next few weeks, our Supreme Court's going to be ruling on same-sex marriage. A true Christian will stand for what's right, no matter what the Supreme Court says. We do not compromise the teaching of the Word of God. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
This is what I believe the world needs to hear. I believe they've seen enough weakies, Christians that will compromise for the dollar, that will say the preachers that will preach hard but then quit preaching because they need the finances. We've all seen it. I've seen some awful good preachers preach the truth and then have to back up on it because their finances were dropped and they needed the millions of dollars and they changed their preaching. You know what that tells me? They have no morals. They may be preachers, but they're not moral preachers. I remember, church, you remember, when we were growing up, it didn't matter whether you was Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, Lutheran, there was a set of Christian values that everybody went by. You did not lie. You did not cheat. And a handshake meant something.
Amen.
Amen? That was morals. That was not blown. This is what I'm trying to say today. How many people locked your doors before you come to church? You know why you locked your doors? There is no morals out there. If they know your doors ain't locked, they'll come in. If they are locked, they should come in sometimes. The next thing is that a mature Christian, and I'm closing, will always have a bold witness for God. There's nothing that disturbs me more is to run across someone that claims to be a Christian, but they want to whisper it, don't want nobody to know it. Man, that's the proudest thing in my life, is I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I remember a few years ago, Brother Carlos and Sister Deb, and I don't even know how we run into each other, but there were several others. We ran into each other into Walmart over, and I don't know if I was praying for somebody or they was praying for somebody. I can't remember. But I do know this much. There's about six of us, and we had prayer meeting. You remember that? Right back there towards something back. We just had prayer meeting. The more we prayed, the more people wanted prayer. Somebody said, wasn't you embarrassed? I'm embarrassed. It's a proud moment.
Amen.
To be able to witness, bold witness, church. Your children, your loved ones need to see a bold Christian.
Amen.
That stands true.
Amen.
Let's get just one more, then we're going to close. A good Christian that's growing in God, that's maturing, they are faithful to their family. To your family, you're faithful. Then you become faithful to those around you. One of the things is when you see people that's not faithful to their family and they claim to be Christians, The world says, what kind of example are they setting? You think they notice? You have to have a family value. I'm not going to tell you your kids will be in church. They may not be. Do you know what? You can still set the example. And you can still we can still hold the banner up. We have a strong family, being a mature Christian. If you want today, if you want to begin the maturity in Christ, you have to do it by the Spirit of God. Now, if I would get back in my message today, which I took time out to go over these points. And also, in closing, before I go to my, we have to have God in our community. We have got to be the beacon of God in our community. We need Christians. If you want to be a mature Christian, or begin, you say, Pastor, I am, and I believe you are, you would not be here. But I believe that we can be more mature and begin the growing process, because once you quit growing, you begin to die. That's when death will overtake and you have to be pruned off. That's why sometimes pastors and teachers have to prune, because we allow death to come on us and you have to cut death off that life can come forth. And that's why sometimes we preach hard messages. But if you want to begin to grow in the maturity of God, there is no shortcuts. There's no formula that you can take, and that's what I was trying to show you. It's by the unction of the Holy Ghost. He is all truth. There is no lie in the Holy Ghost. He is all truth. He stands exactly upon the Word. He is the author of the Word of God. The Bible says man of old wrote the Word of God as the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit inspired them. In other words, God spoke to the Holy Ghost spoke to man, and man wrote the Word of God. So if you want to mature today as Christians, and if we want to see revival break into our families, into our homes, and our churches begin to blossom, and our community begin to grow in God, it has to be done by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, the old prophet said, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It begins the move of God. It's death. Bible says in Ezekiel, when it talks about the valley of dry bones, it's when the breath of God or the Holy Spirit begin to move that the bones become life again. We need the life today in our homes and in our lives. We need that renewing. How many remembers the zeal of God that you had when you first gave your heart to the Lord? You remember that first time? Oh man, you couldn't tell enough people. You couldn't. Apostle Paul would ask you this: what hinders you now? And he would say, lay aside the things that hinder you, that you can go on and keep that joy. And I'm going to say this. I believe one of the hindrances that we have today is we have become so satisfied in allowing other people to be our spiritualists that we no longer seek the Holy Spirit for ourselves, that we let the preacher seek it, or we let this one seek it. I'm going to tell you something. I love God and I love the Holy Ghost upon me, but it's for me when I'm praying for it. I can't do it for you. You will have to seek God for yourself. And I've never been in a church where the pastor can be spiritual for the whole church. He'll die. The church will die. But when we begin to let the Spirit flow, the Bible says it does what? Flows from breast to breast. That means when you're full of the Spirit of God, it will come to me. And then I'll walk over here and it'll go to Carlos and it begins to move. And life begins to happen. I don't care where you're at, because there's no too small, there's no too great. If you've got God in your life, you know the Spirit of God. If you are on that journey and you haven't been up, maybe you said, Pastor, I've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you're on that journey, you're on it. Thank God. The ones that have it are no more important than you. We're all the same. There's some that have maybe up higher on the ladder spiritually. But you know what they are? They're the ones that have blazed the trail for us to follow. It's not that they're more important. You're just as important to God as anyone. What I'm trying to encourage you to do, if you stand still on the ladder, you know what will happen? You remember that old song that we used to sing? If you don't go to heaven, don't hinder me. Because if you're standing on the ladder, you're going to be a hindrance, and somebody's going to nudge you to the side because somebody's going on up. I'm going to say, let's all go up.
Amen.
And I think that we have to begin somewhere in seeking God, letting the Holy Ghost move in our lives. We have to start somewhere. And for the last 6 weeks, one of my number one prayers has been for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Every time I pray, it's what the Spirit brings to me. And so I'm going to minister to you right now. This can be our beginning right now. Right now. This can be a part. You say, Pastor, I'm going to start growing more. I want to receive from God. I know what the enemy's telling you right now. I can hear him. He's telling you, some of you, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. Then you can pray for it. To others, he's telling you, it's no use. You prayed and prayed. That's all lies from the devil. My Bible says that whosoever asked. Now, I don't want to mess with you too bad this morning, but I want to tell you this. There's a difference in asking and begging. There's a difference. When you beg, that means you have doubt and you don't believe God's going to give it to you. You know when your kids ask you for something and you say no and they come back begging, don't it just irritate you? Same way with God. You don't have to beg God. You pray to God. You ask God. You believe what the Word says. In believing, so you say, God, the Word says that I can have this, and so I'm asking you for it. And then you believe and you say, now, God, I'm receiving this right now. I can assure you that God will begin to pour out unto you right now. And if he doesn't, then that means his word is wrong. And his word is not wrong and never has been, never will be. He will. As much as you want. You may say, I can only take so much. Well, then that's as much as you can take today. I only believe for so much, but you have to begin somewhere and let it be right now. Now, this message right here would not be too popular among a lot of Pentecostal preachers. And that's all right. I understand where they come from. But when God gave me a message like this and began to show me how that we can grow, I began to see multitudes of people begin to grow and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in my ministry. Because people understood that all they have to do is receive. Not, you do not earn it. You do not deserve. You don't even deserve it. It's a gift of God. God promised you this 2,000 years ago, and he is a keeper of his promises. If you're here this morning and you want a touch from God right now, I'd like for everybody in the building to stand with me, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning I, as the leader, as the pastor of this church, Lord, I need a spiritual touch. I need to continue my process of growing into a maturity in you. Lord, I need to develop more of the spiritual gifts that you've placed, the talents, God, that you've placed in my life. Lord, if there's anyone else here this morning that's hungry and thirsty, Lord, that's wanting to do more, wanting to grow, God, let this be this very moment. It's still early. Just a few minutes, well, it's 20 minutes past 12. What a wonderful time it would be right now for God to do this for you. If you'll raise your hands right now and you'll begin to ask the Lord, I believe with all my heart, I'm going to agree with you. The Bible says let two agree. I'm going to agree with you right now that the Holy Ghost is going to move upon you. And that from this day forward, are there somebody? Raise your hands right now over this building. Heavenly Father, I receive this in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see every hand that went up. Lord, you hear the hearts and the cries. And Lord, you said, Lord, that you would. And Father, we believe it right now. Let the church say, amen, I receive. Give the Lord a clap of worship. I receive this. Glory to God. Now somebody say the devil's a liar. I've got it. And I'm getting more. And I won't be cheated out of what God wants me to have. Give the Lord another clap of worship. I will not be cheated. God bless you this morning. Are there anybody that needs special?